Tanya, if I assume you're going to be taking place with Zach today and recording the meeting, just let me know when you start and I can start the meeting.
Okay, I just started the recording. You can go ahead.
All right, perfect. Thank you. All right. Okay, everyone. First I wanted to start off the meeting and ask that everybody mute their phones and unmute when necessary, just to make sure we don't have any background noise for the minutes that support today's meeting. Followed by that, I want to thank you all for joining today's meeting. This is the last meeting of the year. It's been a roller coaster year for sure, but I think all in all, when we look back at things, I think we're slowly heading into a positive direction, and that's all we can be thankful for and ask for. So, jumping right in, I'd like to do a roll call. Let's start off with the chairman, Keith Haley. Are you on the call? Vice Chairman Rich Braccia. That's Rich. Okay. Vice Chairman Rich Braccia. Rich is on the call. I just let him in. Rich, are you on the call?
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
Perfect. Thank you. Brent Roberts?
I'm here.
Dave Pelagi? Sobe Ramirez? Angel Torres? Angel Torres?
I'm here.
Randy Altergott?
Here.
Amos Fatorma as an alternate?
Here.
Haran Pujambi? Myself, Tyrell Sampson, is present. Tracy Moore?
I'm here. Hello, everyone.
Joel Garcia?
I'm here.
David Walsh?
Good afternoon.
Jesse Toll?
I'm here.
Nick Faenza?
Here.
Latanya Major?
Here.
Is there anyone on the call that I did not call out?
Shelly McDermott. Not a committee member, but I'm here. Adam Fairbanks.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you, thank you. All right, let's jump right into the agenda. First things first, we have minutes of the last meeting. September 13, 2022, that we need committee approval on. Anyone like to make a motion on the acceptance of the minutes?
I, Brandy, make a motion to accept the minutes from the previous meeting.
Anyone want to follow? Anyone want a second?
Frank Hughes, second.
Greg, you want to close that motion out?
Yeah, sorry. All of those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed say nay. Any abstentions? Motion carries.
Thank you. All right, moving on to the agenda. Let's talk about the budget. Today, as of today, we have about $2.1 million of programmatic funds in our budget. And I kind of want to sit on this subject and not just quickly dismiss this, because I think it's a good time to kind of remind everyone the purpose of the budget and understand what the allowable expenditures off the budget are truly for. When we talk about budget dollars and we talk about balances, and I understand it sounds like a lot of money, and it is a lot of money, kind of. When we were hovering around the $1.2 million budget, it started getting a little rocky and nervous. It's a lot of money, but it's not a lot of money. But what I want to do is talk about truly the purpose of a budget. A budget is not to be viewed in any other light than to operate a program. This budget that we have, and which we should only hope will grow, is to support you all as entrepreneurs. I think sometimes, and it's easy to sometimes forget that regardless of your operation, you are part of a program, but more importantly, you're an entrepreneur. And, you know, when you define entrepreneur, and I had to look it up because I had to just make sure, it means a person who organizes and operates a business or businesses, taking on greater than normal financial risk in order to do so. You know, the one thing about our program and you all being entrepreneurs is you have a support that many people, 80, 90% of entrepreneur opportunities don't have. And that support is to allow you to continue to operate your business without any true financial responsibilities in regards to your business, the supporting of your business, the utilities, the repairs, the purchase of equipment, the purchase of small equipment, you know, all of these things, the health insurance, all of these things don't exist in real entrepreneurial outside of state government opportunities. And so to have a budget like this, this is what's giving you guys the backbone, irregardless of what you average in pay, but it gives you some sort of support. And without that budget, there would not be, I will say this, there will not be more than half of the operations able to resume. No matter how you look at this, you need a budget to support because of, especially during times like this, of so much unknown and so much uncertainties. Many entrepreneurs, small businesses have folded due to COVID, to no fault of COVID. And so I just want to kind of emphasize that a budget should never be looked at as dollars that should be directly in operators' pockets. There isn't a person on this call, including myself, that should look at these funds as my dollars. These are program dollars. Whether you should stay in the program or leave, whether I stay in the program or leave, there's always going to be a budget. That's how this program was designed, to be able to support this program. You know, we have to adjust the mindset of understanding that we all are part of a program. We are not the program. There isn't anyone here on this call where if you leave, the program stops. There will be someone one day that will follow you. And so the purpose of having these dollars is to continue to operate a program long term. And again, it should never be viewed as, why aren't we getting a part of this budget? Because that's not the way it's designed. We are on a statewide vending contract to support this program. And so I just need to make that clear because, you know, I'm all for supporting all of your businesses, but I'm not for trying to figure out a way to give you direct funds off of a budget. That's not what this program's intended. You're an entrepreneur. And so you have to be reminded, this, you're not an employee. There should never be an expectation of what your earnings are going to be. Not as an entrepreneur. No entrepreneur looks that way. It's all risk. And sometimes we can, you know, I understand, you know, sometimes we can weather these risks and sometimes we can't. But that decision doesn't come on our plate as an administration. It comes on the plate of yourself. You have to make that determination if the program's going to work for you as an entrepreneur. Because each and every one of you on this call are and can be anything you want to be and do anything you want. And as an agency, we will support you in that area. So I just feel like I need to remind you that please don't view these dollars as, you know, dollars that could be benefiting you directly, because they do benefit you. And if you come up with a great idea that falls within the parameters of our program, they will support that idea. But they won't just unnecessarily fund things that aren't directed towards your business. That's not what this budget's for. So I just wanted to, you know, kind of stay on that budget because I just need you all to understand that it's a benefit to have this. I assure you, I've been on plenty of statewide calls where people, other programs are naturally hurting. States that do set aside are hurting. got to keep that in mind, that you got a good thing, and you know, to jeopardize that would really jeopardize the entire program. Moving on to business report, schedule season retirement contribution. Just as a reminder, you know, we're at the end of the year. Business reports, schedule C's, retirement contributions, everything should be paid on time and tightened up. You know, one thing, and as you may or may not know, we do now have a new director, and I was going to invite her on today's call, but I thought it would be more appropriate to have her on the next call, or maybe a call in between now and our next scheduled call, to give her a platform and time to really speak to everyone, and essentially I wanted to gather more operators as well, to introduce herself. Carol Jenkins, she comes from Nebraska Disability Service Program, and I can tell you, just in the past 2 weeks of working with Carol, her ideas, her thought process, her expectations align with mine. And so it's comforting to know that obviously we all worked under Brian for so many years. You know, you almost thought it was, it'd be the inevitable of having someone replace him with, you know, distinct knowledge of our agency. But I assure you, Carol has that. And so with that, there's a, you know, in small talks I've had with Carol, I haven't met with her on my 101 yet, but I will soon. She certainly has an expectation of, you know, accountability. So, you know, obviously as we end this year, 2023, you know, we got to push the envelope. We got to push the envelope a little harder. We got to tighten up on areas that, you know, we know that we've been laxed in, because it's important to make sure that, you know, our program remains, and I will say this, remains one of the strongest programs in the country, and can be used as a point of reference, as it has been in many areas, RSA, NFB, to name a couple areas. So we are a strong program, and I think we don't want to diminish that reputation in any means. So, you know, I'm going to expect more from everyone, you know, operators, field reps, because I think the time is now. We have to close the mindset of when things get back to, this is where we are. And I think, you know, each and every operator has to make the decision and determination how much they want to invest into their future. You know, how much, because now is the time. We're willing to invest in your future. We're willing to invest in your thoughts. We're willing to invest in your operation. But you got to match that same energy. And that's it. And, you know, that's something that I'm going to press on field reps for. And in the next couple of weeks, you'll get different guidance going forward, as I have to set the bar a little bit higher on the expectation level, because it's necessary. So we'll talk about that in weeks. You'll work with your field reps and we'll get through it. So I just wanted to give everyone a heads up that Carol is a wonderful director, and I think she's going to be instrumental to our agency. And she will be able to share some great stories, I believe, with all of you. She is legally blind as well. So, you know, she definitely has a perspective of understanding, but also has a perspective of understanding. So she understands it on both sides of the puzzle, but she's a strong individual, and I think she would give great insight. She, I believe, even operated or oversaw the business enterprise program in some capacity in Nebraska as well, so she's very familiar with the operation. In just a short time of reviewing how our program operates, she simply says we're lucky. So I'll let her touch more on that when she when we have her on the next call. So that's that. Moving on, so I wanted to talk about operator spotlight. This is something new. This is something that I think we need to start including in our quarterly meetings, is to highlight the good, to highlight operators who, you know, are being recognized, or operators that are doing something that could either A, benefit everyone, or benefit maybe their peers in their prospective professions. So this time around, I thought it was important to highlight Amos. I know many of you have known that he was considered for an award in New Britain at the annual Disability Employment Recognition event. And he actually received an award, but not just any award. He actually received, I would say, considered more or less the largest award of the day. It was an award called the Orson Roy Rothkip Award. Orson Roy was apparently a gentleman who had a long-standing souvenir shop in the town of New Britain, small business, and since passed away. So every year, his wife, in his memory, offers this prestigious award, and you know, Amos was able to receive this award for in recognition of all that he's done in New Britain. This was it was nice to see Mayor Aaron Stewart, along with Dr. Pettit, I believe, gave Amos the award, and it was just an awesome day. And it was just good to, you know, again, have our program recognized amongst others in good light. And so I think it's important that we shine the light on our program and shine the light amongst each other to uplift and really, you know, again, maximize your energy into wanting all you can get out of this program and out of your operation. So I think doing this will be good. I mean, we don't have to just spotlight one person. We'll spotlight whoever is, you know, has a reason to be spotlighted, because I think it's just, in order to move something, it takes a team. No one person can do it. And if we all can be behind something and learn from it, or push others to be great and to, you know, excel in that area, I'm all for it. So that's something that I'd like to keep on the agendas going forward. And also, so that's that. Next, we talk about training. You'll see on the agenda, I have up to $500 training reimbursement. You know, during COVID, there were several different training events that had taken place. But it also, and I think Frank had interest in going to a training event in New Jersey. And, you know, he had reached out in regards to our supportive training. And I thought that was a great question. I thought it was something that highlights an importance of our program. So with that being said, I wanted to offer, you know, training reimbursements to anybody that wants to do any type of training that is, you know, respective to their actual operation or within the scope of, you know, what our program is designed to do, I should say, or offer. You know, you may operate a micro market, but there's a training for some sort of food service, because that's where you want to head in the program. You know, we will support it. And you know, I put up to $500 training. Obviously, there can be some contingencies behind that. If it's something that clearly is aligned with, you know, your operation, that may cost a few dollars more, whatever the case may be, it'll be case to case. But just know that I'm willing to, you know, offer that. In addition, I don't know how many of you know, but there's an online training offered by Chicago Lighthouse that's a 12-module program online that covers the entire scope of the business enterprise program. So that's also available. That's a little bit more, but I believe VR supports that funding. I know they do. And so if anyone is interested, and I'll send an email, because obviously we have about, I don't know, maybe half of the operators in this call, but I'm going to send an email out as a reminder of that training, because part of making change is also growing your sense of business knowledge. You know, you can be involved with something for umpteen years, but if you're only involved in that respective piece of business, it doesn't hurt to gain additional knowledge in other areas, which in turn could potentially, you know, build your confidence to want to take yourself into other avenues that our program offers. So whatever it is that you guys want to do to create upward mobility, I'm in support of it. You know, like I said, case by case, but overall, I think it's important that the operators and each and every one of you that remain in the program has the opportunity to maximize your potential. And that's exactly what I want to do, is be a part of your growth. I think we all do. So just know that if anyone wants to do any training, we're there to support. So, next, New Britain Courthouse. As to date, this location remains vacant. Now, you know, this is a concern of mine because of the fact that this is a viable location. And so, you know, a lot of times when we hear of the program shrinking, and I'm just kind of reflecting on a couple of locations we had to close because there just wasn't anyone there. So, or interested in resuming operation. I was fortunate enough to be able to get granted an extension to continue my search to have an operator replace that New Britain Courthouse. This would be a tough one to lose, and so I'm hopeful that someone through VR, again, Frank has done a great job in the sense of advocating for our program and seeking you know, outside individuals' interest to come in the program. And I think everyone should be out there telling a friend to tell a friend. You know, there's strength in numbers, no doubt. And so the more viable locations we can retain, you know, the stronger our program remains. And this also goes for Bridgeport Mental Health as well. Bridgeport remains open. There have been a couple of individuals referred to me that I've spoken to that I believe may have interest, but I'm not certain they truly understand how our operation works. Several people tend to reach out to me, and one of their questions is, how much do I get paid hourly? So, you know, I don't think some of the referrals that are coming through VR are being vetted or appropriately explained, because I find myself answering questions in which, should this referral have been, you know, kind of, I don't want to say warned, but just, you know, provided, I would just say, the basic information, they would understand what entrepreneurship is. But nonetheless, you know, I'm always willing to give a person the opportunity to do a site visit and see if, you know, if they're a match for what we're looking for. So with that, Bridgeport as well, I was able to get an extension so we didn't have to use today's call and waive these locations. So I remain hopeful and suggest that everyone try to do their part in soliciting our program in good light. You know, another thing before I jump off of this and go into the next subject is I need everyone to understand that when we talk about earnings, everybody doesn't have the same expectation for earnings. You know, what you expect and what you would expect out of an opportunity is not necessarily the same expectation of another operator. You know, our program really, truthfully, serves two purposes. Yes, one for income, but two, also for opportunity. And, you know, I think that's easily being dismissed, that, you know, everyone has different visual acuities, and everyone that I know is grateful for the opportunity. And that goes a long way. You know, one thing that I checked with RSA in meeting with them way back is they confirmed there is no minimum expectation of earnings from any facility. There isn't any minimum. I know, I think Brandy, I think we've had conversations, or you may even stated it on this call, on one of our calls, that, you know, the law was designed for opportunity. It never set a goal of, you know, being a six-figure operation. It's to provide opportunities, giving you first right, the ability to, you know, be part of something that gives your specific disability group an opportunity. And I think we can't dismiss that, because it's very easy to assume that there's something greater until it's taken away, until it no longer exists in your world. And then you become grateful. In fact, I've spoken to two operators who have retired who, turning back the time, wish they would have remained in the program. Weren't making a million. $2 million, but they were grateful for the opportunity and see just the value of, you know, day-to-day, having day-to-day responsibilities. They were grateful. They were thankful for that. So I think when we solicit these opportunities, you know, don't put your financial expectations in light of the opportunity. You know, when you solicit this, don't say, oh, this is, you know, this is just a small opportunity. Because you never know what that person on the other end would be grateful for. And in turn, what you may be shadowing as being a low-rated facility could, in fact, affect someone's judgment on wanting to take on an opportunity. Speak of these locations and this program in good light, because it will go a long way. So I just wanted to touch on that. Now, vacation pay in lieu of field representative coverage. I know this was a topic that we wanted to move to today's, or yeah, this agenda, but I wanted to kind of talk about this in real life. Most of you, just about everyone, received the vacation payment recently, a month or so ago. Several of you called me and said, I can't believe I got this. So several of you, and wage has nothing, earnings has nothing to do with the conversations I've had. They couldn't believe they received it. Why? Some are in partnerships. Some are seasonal locations. Some locations, you are going to work every day. There, everyone, not everyone, but several individuals understand. Listen, in our regulations, there's a mention of vacation payment. Just that. A mention. So, you know, initially coming up to this call, I was completely against offering it. But since there's mention in the regulations, I'm not going to completely dismiss it. But what I'm going to ask the committee to do is go back and try to come up with something that logically makes sense to offer. We currently have partnerships going on in which operators are at their facility at minimum 1-2 times a week. We have seasonal locations where operators are there 5 months out of the year. And we have operators that go to their facilities every day. When an auditor, or should an auditor, ever require backup as to what these vacation payments support, I would be in trouble. We would be in trouble, I would assume. And this is on a recorded call, I'm telling you. It made sense why we offered it during COVID. During COVID, all operations were closed. No one even had an opportunity to take a vacation. We picked up from that in many operations operated now in partnerships, which is obviously a benefit. And so the dynamics of operations have changed, and a lot of operations don't align with our regulations. So I'm just asking the committee to maybe, you know, go back to the table, come up with some sort of calculation that seems fair as to what operators in what specific categories would be eligible for in regards to some sort of vacation payment in lieu of vacation. Because in the regulations, you know, when they talk about regular schedule, they do reference 8 hours. And again, I don't even want to use the regulations in this conversation, because they don't align with the way we operate today, the way we were forced to operate today. So you really can't stick regulations to this, but you got to stick something that, should someone audit or review, it makes sense. It makes logical sense. And we're not getting our hands slapped and having our budget monitored from here on out by other entities outside of our own administration. So let's be cautious and careful on how we proceed with this. And I just ask that, you know, you, the committee, understand and, you know, go back to the drawing board with this. And certainly we can vote on something that seems fair in March, if you are all okay. And for that, I don't know if someone from the committee wants to kind of just speak. I don't want to be the only behalf. I'm just expressing my concerns. Does anyone want to chime in with thoughts on that? Not requiring a vote.
I will.
Hello,
can
you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Go ahead, Brandon.
Are you sure I can wait?